I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of yourself. Because when you feel empowered, you're more ready for life's challenges. BetterHelp is a great therapy option. It's flexible, affordable, entirely online, and it matches you with a licensed therapist. Let therapy help empower you. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. So Moist Pork tweeted me on Twitter, and he is a loyal D-alien, and now I guess he's become a fan of mine as well with some of the picks that I've done on the DA show throughout the year. Can't be a fan of mine through actually the results based off the picks, just the script writing, because my NFL picks, I was red hot last year. I was 12 games over 500. This year, I'm an absolute just moron when it comes to picking games, but I guess Moist Pork isn't a moron because he's a fan of DAs. Now he's a fan of mine. And he tweeted a great question based off the conversation that we were having on Lamar Jackson, which is, do the Ravens think they could just get rid of him and bring in someone that could be on level as Lamar, better than Lamar, or someone that you could just say is a system quarterback that they think their system is so great that you could plug someone in and they could find a way to continue the ship from sinking? Like, we go through available options this offseason. Is there a name out there that the Ravens could say, okay, we're going to trade Lamar, we'll franchise tag him, we'll trade him, we're not going to pay him the $230-something million guaranteed, we're not going to be able to get a deal done, we're not confident that we'll ever be able to get a deal done, so we're going to go on out there and just trade him this offseason. Even though we don't want to trade him, we think that this ship has sailed in getting a deal done. And I'm going division by division right now. There's no one in the AFC East, right, that is going to be available or that you look at it and you say, wow, I got to get it. Like, if the Ravens' plan is to go get Zach Wilson, yeah, good luck. Have fun. The AFC West, is it Derek Carr? Would that be a landing spot? Now, he's not better than Lamar Jackson. We don't know that. He's not on par with Lamar Jackson, but that would be a competent replacement. With that being said, though, here would be my biggest fear about Derek Carr with the Ravens. How many years did Raiders fans say, he doesn't have the weapons around him? I know last year he made the playoffs and he was admirable, but this year, and I know Josh McDaniels is like a curse word to a lot of people, but he had Davante Adams this year. And there were times where we looked at that Raiders offense, or more than just times, a lot of times, where we said, what the heck is going on with the Raiders offense? So if you put Derek Carr in Baltimore, where Derek Carr isn't the most mobile quarterback in the world, where Derek Carr doesn't have a legit number one wide receiver and just has Mark Andrews and J.K. Dobbins, like, you regressed in the running back spot. Josh Jacobs, even though I like J.K. Dobbins, is better than J.K. And from a tight end standpoint, I like Mark Andrews a lot, but it's not like Mark Andrews is that much better than Darren Waller. So we say, Hickey, like, Derek Carr, if Lamar Jackson, let's say, gets traded this offseason, maybe go into the Ravens, do I think that's going to work? I don't, because Derek Carr, with the offense of pieces that are there in Baltimore, I don't think you get the best version of Derek Carr.
Here's one area, though, that Lamar cannot say he's better than Derek Carr, and that I think would tickle the Ravens' fancy: availability. If you want to say your best ability is availability, Derek Carr has been someone who, outside of the broken ankle in, what was that, 2016, I believe it was, has played like basically every game outside of, if we're not going to count the benching, because he got benched not for his health because of his contract. And
if you're
the Ravens, I think they look at the last 2 years, how it ended, and said, we need a quarterback who's out there.
Fair point, but if you're not that good and you're available, what good does availability mean? Like, don't get me wrong, Derek Carr's not a scrub, Derek Carr's not a bad quarterback in this league. He ain't a top 10 quarterback in this league, Because everyone for the last 5 years that is telling me that he's a top 10 quarterback, they keep on getting proven wrong. Besides last year. But then this year, it was not able to be sustainable. So you could be available. Would you rather run the risk of Lamar Jackson getting hurt at the end of the year or have Derek Carr just because he's available? I'd much rather have Lamar Jackson.
Well, if you're the Ravens, you look at the way you're going to run your offense of, hey, we play good defense and we're going to run the ball a lot. We just need
a
guy to make,
game manager.
You know, third down throws and kind of, again, be like what Jimmy G was in San Francisco. I could see the Ravens saying that's what we're going to be. That's the kind of quarterback we need. And that's why Derek Carr, you know, theoretically could be our guy.
You know what wouldn't surprise me? Now, I don't think this would be smart. But you just look at the offense that they're trying to run. Like, doesn't that scream Jacoby Brissett? Doesn't it?
Screams Jimmy G, Jacoby Brissett.
Right? Like, none of these guys that you want to have, but if the Ravens are this pretentious, where they think they could just plug anyone in and they'll be able to win games like 17-14, 20-17, you look at a guy with no ego, you look at a guy that's been, he's more of a backup, but he's been given opportunities to start. Like, I'm just throwing out there, like, Jacoby Brissett. That would not surprise me if that's what the Ravens end up doing. Be dumb, but it wouldn't shock me if we're talking like how you're talking, that they could plug anyone in there and think that they'll be okay.
Now, I know the concussions are an issue. I go back to Tua. Similar, you know.
But why would the Dolphins, it seems like, put it this way. If the Dolphins are looking to explore elsewhere, that's one thing. But I think the Dolphins are still, Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, I think they're still believing in Tua. But yeah, if they're one hit away and Tua could never play football again. Sure.
So just style of quarterback. That's more thing for the Ravens. But
okay, you know, because I'm saying if Tua doesn't work in Miami, I don't know how many other opportunities he's going to get elsewhere, because I think Tua not working in Miami is going to be directly related to health and concussions. That's why I think Tua would not work in Miami.
Or even Baltimore, because again, his ability or availability is still in question. So it's, but if he was healthy, like, in a perfect world, a concussion was an issue.
Sure.
I could see maybe the Ravens say, oh, you know what, put Tua in there, we'll be fine, no problem, keep it running.
Yeah, but the only reason he'd be available is because, unfortunately, he suffers another concussion or two, and then the Dolphins say we need to go get someone that is going to actually be on the field. Anyone else that stands out? Like, they go bring in Ryan Tannehill? Like, imagine if that's what you're selling your fan base. We're going to trade Lamar Jackson and bring in Ryan Tannehill, who's competent in this league, but you know is never winning a Super Bowl. You know the upside isn't there. Like, I would be vomiting if I'm a Ravens fan.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins. I see the Ravens liking that.
Ugh.
That seems like a Baltimore Ravens kind of quarterback.
But Kirk Cousins doesn't have Justin Jefferson in Baltimore. Kirk Cousins doesn't have Adam Thielen in Baltimore. Like, what are you going to expect out of Kirk Cousins? Like, don't get me wrong. He's a good quarterback, Kirk Cousins. But if you're getting rid of Lamar Jackson, that does not excite me whatsoever, bringing in
Kirk
Cousins.
Oh, I'm not saying, I mean, none of these options, by the way, am I making the case for them to be exciting for the, if you're a Ravens fan whatsoever. I think if you trade Lamar, there's honestly, unless it's like, there's no realistic option that you could trade Lamar for and then say, oh, I'm going to get excited for X quarter I come back. There's not.
Okay.
But if you're Kirk, it's like, I mean, he played well in Washington without really many, like, he has put up numbers everywhere he's gone. Playoffs are a different question, and if you actually trust him, a different question. But I don't think that he would fall off a cliff in Baltimore, we'll say.
I'll give you two here.
Ooh.
If this happens this offseason, give you two names.
Let's hear them.
Let's just say they can't get a deal done. They put a deadline out there. We can't get a deal done with Lamar Jackson. We got to know before the start of free agency. So that way we could pounce and go get someone else. So let's say we're at the Super Bowl, and I don't think it's going to materialize this quickly if it happens, but just for the sake of this argument and for the sake of this being Sports Talk Radio. Let's say at the Super Bowl, we find out Lamar Jackson gets traded to, give me a team here. Just give me a team.
Any team? Does it matter? I'll just say the Vikings. Commanders.
No, yeah, go Commanders.
Commanders. Lamar Jackson, boom, breaking news, traded to the Commanders.
Traded to the Commanders, and let's say the Ravens' preference with the draft picks that they get in return is not to go move up in the draft and get a quarterback.
Okay, so they sit where they are.
Free agents this year. Geno Smith, Daniel Jones. Let's say Seattle and the Giants both Let them get to the open market. Don't slap the franchise tag on him. Got to think the Ravens would go make a run at Daniel Jones. You got to think the Ravens would go make a run at Geno Smith. And for both those players, even though I think it better suits them to stay in their current organization, especially Geno Smith, and Daniel Jones, I think, will stay with the Giants, and I think him having Brian Daboll is enormous for his career. But if you're one of those players, and let's say the Ravens make you on a short term, because neither of those players are getting, like, I would think, a 5 or a 6 year deal like what Lamar's looking for. If they call you up and give you a 3 year deal and it's more money than what you're getting in New York, or it's more money than you're getting in Seattle, that's a highly respected organization in Baltimore. And if you're Geno Smith, sure, you don't have DK Metcalf, you don't have Tyler Lockett. If you're Daniel Jones, outside of Saquon, it's not like your weapons are great in New York. Like, that's the type of quarterback that, yes, not better than Lamar, but if this happened this offseason, this materialized this offseason, which I don't know if it is or not, I've been saying this for the better part of now 4 months, I think Lamar's time is coming to an end in Baltimore. I don't know if it happens this offseason. They may say, go play another year on the franchise tag. Let's see how far we can take this. And then a year from now, if we can't get a deal done, which they won't, if they don't get one done this offseason, maybe then they say we got to trade him then because we can't run him going for a compensatory third-round pick. You got to get a King's ransom back for unanimous MVP. What do you think about Geno? What do you think about Daniel Jones? I think Daniel Jones would be fascinating.
Daniel Jones is interesting because it's similar style of play work, especially this year. You see him running a lot, especially on zone reads, which, again, the Ravens ran a ton now. We'll see what they do offensive coordinator-wise. Maybe if they try to go for more pro style in offense. I'm not really sure exactly, but he does fit the bill. Like, obviously, Geno's more pocket guy, but Daniel Jones would kind of slide right in if you want to keep everything kind of similar.
What a bleeping world we live in now.
As Lamar Jackson.
That we just went through this, and we were going for, like, the lowest of lows when it comes to some of these names. And the name that we're both like would make sense for the Ravens is Daniel Jones. Look how crazy 2022 was. And what 2023 can be, when for the last 3 years, everyone's saying Daniel Jones is trash, Daniel Jones is bad, he's ass, he's no good. And now people are like, Daniel Jones, look what he's doing with the Giants. Look what Brian Daboll's doing with Daniel Jones, with basically, other than Saquon, nothing around him. And Jones continues to impress. And you look at the style that, not that I'm saying Daniel Jones is better than Lamar Jackson, I wouldn't argue that, obviously. But if the Ravens' philosophy is we could find a way to be good and win with whoever is at quarterback, and if you're looking to just cycle guys in and you're not willing to pay a guy like Lamar Jackson, whatever it would be, they could look at Daniel Jones as, okay, we'll go pay you for 3 years. We got no problem with that. We'll give you a 3-year deal. And then if it doesn't work after 2 years, we get rid of you. Or after 3 years, if you play well and you go get a better deal somewhere else, we'll go cycle someone else in. Jones actually is a name that I don't ultimately think he will be available, because two things have to happen. One, he has to leave the Giants, which I don't think is happening. And then two, they have to trade Lamar Jackson before the start of free agency. So it's unlikely, but if there was a name out there this year that the Ravens would look at and be like, okay, we're going to trade Lamar, and where do we go from there? And, like, who's a guy that would maybe be available? Maybe. And who's a guy that could be available via trade or via free agency? Like, maybe it is Lamar. Now, maybe it is Daniel Jones. I'll give you two more. What about Brady? What about Rodgers? Like, could both of those older quarterbacks look at, even though you have to change the offense significantly, like, J.K. Dobbins wants all the carries in the world. Like, I don't think there's enough there to just rely on J.K. Dobbins. Like, you have to go get another weapon in the passing game. And I think this defense is really good. I don't think it's as great, though, as you're going to win every game 17-14. But if it is that kind of philosophy, would later in their career, would a Rodgers or would a Brady be interested? It's just something to wonder about.
I would say Aaron Rodgers, no shot in hell. One, Brady, with the receivers. Two, I don't think John Harbaugh would. Those two, big oil and water.
Yeah.
The press conference would be electric.
I agree with you on Rodgers. Brady, I think, has shown that he'll do anything where he thinks he could win. If he thinks he could win there, he'd go there.
I agree. And that philosophy, if he's upset with Byron Leftwich and the Buccaneers for not running the ball more and throwing the ball 66 times in a playoff game, you go to Baltimore, you'll be running the ball 66 times in a playoff
game. You know what? I actually would like to see Brady in Baltimore. Here's why.
Wait, really?
Here's why. First off, it would make me sick. But here's why I would like to see
it. As you go, it make you sick. But here's why I'd like to see it.
Bart Scott would lose his mind. Bart Scott, when I think I was in high school. He was at a GNC in Paramus, New Jersey. It was like some appearance. And I went there. And he found out I was a Patriot fan. And Bart Scott, when I was in high school, said, "Your quarterback's a douche." That's what Bart Scott said. He hates, and he's so jealous. Bart Scott, who eventually became a colleague here, he is so jealous of Brady, and he loves the Ravens. He would then have to root for Brady. I'm all in. I'm all in just for that reason and that reason only.
I hate to say it. I think you'd come around very fast. I think he'd be a big Brady supporter. Then all of a sudden, I think you'd get sick of then Bart Scott's love for Tom Brady as a Raven. And then you're like, I think, yeah, that's...
It would kind of be like...
That would not be no good for you.
When you're together with someone and all your friends are saying... Oh, like this girl you're with, this horrible, is horrible, horrible. Then she becomes a free agent because you dump her. And then one of your buddies like swoops in. And then your buddy starts dating her. And then you got to hear, how great your ex is and all that stuff. Even though at that point you would alienate the friend in that situation. I think that was like a comparison that someone made sense when I was thinking about that. If you got my line of thinking.
I could see Debbie Bart Scott being all on Mr. Tom Brady, you know, buying a Ravens jersey, going to ESPN in a number 12 Ravens Brady jersey. Declaring a Super Bowl, I think you'd be sick by his love for that if that was to happen.
All right, Ian Williams, former 49ers defensive lineman, going to join us on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught. Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We move closer and closer to the divisional round in the NFL. And coming up this Sunday to conclude the divisional round, the Dallas Cowboys go to Santa Clara to do battle with the San Francisco 49ers. Now joining us is a former 49ers defensive lineman. Of course, does a great job as an analyst now for CBS in Orlando. And that's our pal Ian Williams. Ian, how you been?
Zach, now I'm doing well. Hanging in there.
So I know we talked about a month or so ago, right when like Brock Purdy run was really getting started. Now it's gone to a completely different level. Just how do you react to the way that Brock is not only playing, but just the way he's been so cool and calm about it?
Well, I told you this was going to happen, right? I came on and I gave praise to this team. I gave praise to Kyle and I gave praise to the young man Brock Purdy for going out there and playing so well. Obviously, him being able to have Deebo Samuel out there and George Kittle and be able to have so much of talent around him helps for him to be able to go out there and succeed. And him also making plays and him just feeling comfortable and then also having a defense to be able to get him the ball back and know that he can go out there and make mistakes and it's not going to truly hurt the team because Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, and that defense is so good. So it's really an explosion of all this talent that you're seeing right now for the 49ers. And then with Brock Purdy being able to come in and be a young man coming into a system and being able to get this team in and out of every down, make plays, make the right decision. And this is why we're talking about them in the divisional round and possibly a Super Bowl football team, is because of this young man and also everybody else buying in to this guy being the leader of this team.
Are you ready to say that Brock Purdy is going to be the starting quarterback for the Niners game one next year?
Let's see how he finishes out. I can't say that he's going to be the starter, because I can believe this. Kyle Shanahan has seen enough from this young man to be able to give him a chance, and his contract is very cheap. So having him, Jimmy Garoppolo possibly under contract, and then you have Trey Lance under a rookie contract, it's a pretty good situation for this team to go into next year. Maybe Brock does win the starting job, but I think at the end of the day, he gives Trey Lance, coming back from his injury, and Brock a chance in training camp to be able to win that starting job. And we'll see who comes out in August, the winner of that job. But it's really too early to tell. But I can tell you one thing. If this young man goes out there and he wins the Super Bowl, it's going to be very hard to put him on the bench starting next season.
It kind of shows you with how great their system has been that the Trey Lance move with all the draft picks that they gave up seems a little unnecessary at this point.
I mean, it led to all this. So, you know, you can kind of say things are unnecessary. You know, the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't have led to Nick Bosa, you know, being a part of their defense, because without that injury, this team is deeper in the playoffs and they don't draft Nick Bosa. So, you know, certain things happened where, you know, Trey Lance was out there and he had his injury, but now because of having a young quarterback and they felt that they had watched enough film on this young man at Iowa State that he was going to be able to come in and make the right kind of plays. So they got a steal in the draft, the last pick in the draft. And then for him to be able to come in and pretty much just, wow, literally just be like a 10-year veteran out there, and he just looks so calm and poised. This tells you this how Kyle has done a great job at making the offense understandable for a rookie to be able to come in and implement his game, but also stay within the confines of the offense and be able to make the right checks at the line of scrimmage and still be in plus territory when you're trying to move the ball up and down the field. So this young man has done a great job so far.
I just wonder how Trey Lance is handling this, Ian Williams, because when a player's hurt, you obviously don't get to hear much from him. But I saw that post on Instagram the other day when Rand Carthon got the job with Tennessee to be their next general manager, and Rand was in the Niners organization since 2017. You did have a little fingers crossed emoji getting put up there by the 49ers, one of their quarterbacks, and Trey Lance. And it makes you wonder, is Trey Lance for some reason getting a little frustrated with the team?
I don't think he's frustrated. I think, obviously, you know, he wants to be out there playing right now. And, you know, guys are going to get promoted. And this is obviously what happens when you make great draft picks and you have a last pick in the NFL draft turn out to be able to get your team through two injuries at quarterback and still be able to get to the postseason and talk Super Bowl winning team. Also drafting a tight end in the fifth round and then drafting Deebo Samuel and then Nick Bosa and then finding a steal in Fred Warner. I mean, these guys are going to get promoted and be general managers for other teams because they did a great job at weeding through and finding the diamonds in the rough. So I don't think he's frustrated. Obviously, he's just, you know, talking about or tweeting, you know, certain things that he has going on with himself. But I don't think he's frustrated. I think he's excited about the team winning right now. Obviously, it hurts to see another guy go out there and do it how you should be doing it. And people questioning, are you going to be the quarterback of the 49ers the next year? And that's very difficult for a young man, but I think he's handled it pretty well. Obviously, they're going to try to tell him to stay off of Twitter so that we're not over here talking about it, but I think he's done a great job with how the season has gone and his injury.
Ian Williams here with us. McCaffrey, all he needed to be was healthy. We know how great a player he is, but with Shanahan, that seems like a match made in heaven. It really does.
Oh, yeah. It was right there, and it was friction between those two because, one, Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to give the defense a tell on what he's trying to do. If he's going to outside zone, inside zone, or he wants to flex out that running back to be able to put a stress on the defense and also show a tell if a linebacker walks out there or safety walks over there to cover that running back. But if you have a running back that has receiver-type skills, which is why you have Deebo Samuel at running back, he's interchangeable certain guys out there. But having a guy like Christian McCaffrey really puts that scheme into effect, because now a defense can't really understand who's the running back in this form or in this situation or in this scheme. So it puts a lot of pressure on the defense having a running back who can do pretty much everything. He's all-purpose. He's not just power. He's not receiving. He's not just an elusive back. He kind of does everything very, very well. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan was obviously very excited. It was a great trade, one of the best trades in NFL history. If we talk about this team going to the Super Bowl and possibly winning, has to go down as one of the best trades. And this is why you have certain personnel in the GM in the front office getting promotions and also going to other teams so that they can implement their style of play. So, you know, hats off to Kyle Shanahan getting this guy in-house, and then Christian McCaffrey also staying healthy. You know, he's done a great job, you know, getting to the ground, making his plays, get out of bounds, and then also that offensive line, Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey, that offensive line in the interior, the two young guys, Brunskill, had done a great job having this guy come in mid-season and be able to mesh so well, especially in the scheme, and George Kittle getting out there blocking. It's been a great sight to see for a former player like myself.
Ian Williams, what concerns you the most about the Cowboys when you look at this matchup?
Oh, my God, that defense. So Micah Parsons, okay, all right. You know, he hasn't had a great past few games, but he's still capable to do what he's done all season long, and which is why he's in the argument of defensive player of the year because of what he's shown in the past. So anytime he's out there lined up across from you, he's a threat. And I think that defense has gotten a lot better, especially up front. Carlos Watkins has done a great job, you know, that's making that interior more stout. This is what they struggled with the past few years, not being able to stop the run. So having those guys in there, having Leighton Van Der Esch back, and that secondary is looking really, really good. Jayron Kearse. It's more that defense that scares me. I think offensively, Dak Prescott, you know, if you can force him to have to nickel and dime you down the field, he's going to make a mistake. But I think another thing that not a lot of people haven't paid attention to was the switch from Tyron Smith to the left side to the right side. And I think having those two tackles and possibly Jason Peters being out there and playing, you know, he kind of had his injury situation this past week, so I don't know how much he's going to play this upcoming week. But having two tackles like that that can block Nick Bosa and Charles on the outside, and having Zach Martin on the inside to be able to block Eric Armstead, that's what gives me worries with all the depth chart with the Dallas Cowboys. But I think at the end of the day, the Niners weather the storm. They're at home, and I think they end up winning this football game.
Does it at all surprise you that this team has won? I know how great of talent that they have, but 11 in a row, like that, this is starting to get absurd.
That's how they built the team. Come on now,
but 11 in a row with three different quarterbacks. It's crazy. I know you've been, I know you're like, oh, no big deal. That's a big deal.
I can tell you one thing. When I played with these guys earlier last decade, there were certain games, certain seasons, like I just felt so confident going into games knowing I had Justin Smith and Patrick Willis and Vernon Davis. I had the confidence that we were just going to win every game. We weren't going to lose a game. So now looking at this football team, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, you know, all these guys out here on offense and defense, you know, Brock Purdy going to step in that situation and be like, man, I can make this thing go too. All I need to do is be a conductor and get the ball out to the receivers and not make mistakes to hurt my defense. And that's pretty much what he's done. And then he also has made a couple plays, which is surprising people because the plays that he's making is what you draft the first overall pick for, scramble out the pocket, scrambling to the right and getting the ball to Brandon Ayuk, who's supposed to catch the football to make the great play really, really happen. But, you know, you're like, wow, you're watching a master at work and a young man looks so confident. So this is why this team is 11 wins in and pretty much in the argument for the best team in the NFL right now. So hats off to Kyle Shanahan, this offense and this defense that have really bought in.
Are you surprised Harbaugh is staying at Michigan and not coming back to the NFL?
How much is his contract? He's not going anywhere until somebody breaks and pays him more of what Michigan is paying him. I was talking to him a little bit when we had the alumni game when the 49ers played the Chiefs earlier this season. They had a lot of the guys back from the 2012 championship game. So I had a couple of moments with him and stuff like that. And I could tell you one thing, he's excited to be in college and be able to coach those young guys and be able to get them to the next step, which is what he did so well, you know, playing in Indianapolis. So I think he's excited being with in the college program. And, you know, he had a bad loss, but, you know, I think he's done a lot of good things with the Michigan program, which is, you know, really down and out before he got there.
So here's the thing. His contract at Michigan, it's like he took the pay cut, then got a little bit of an increase because they started to win more. The NFL teams, they could top that contract in a second, and it's only $3 million to get him away from Michigan, what the buyout would be. I'm just starting to wonder, and he was great in the NFL. 4 years as a coach, you know, 3 NFC title games, got to a Super Bowl. Last year, Minnesota didn't want him, and then this year, you know, I don't know what happened with Denver. I guess some of the reports say that Carolina, he wanted Carolina, but Carolina didn't want him back. I just don't know what it is why there aren't teams that are offering him a head coaching job with the last 2 years. It seems like he wants to go back to the NFL.
Well, I mean, if he wanted to go back to the NFL, he would have gone back to the NFL. I think right now he's in a great situation, his alma mater. He's building a program back. And then he also has all hands on deck at Michigan. When he comes to an NFL team, he's not going to have control over the whole franchise and what he wants to do. At Michigan, it is what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. What's Coach Harbaugh want to do? What are we doing here, Coach Harbaugh? It's all that. You come to the NFL franchise, and now you have an owner. Now you have a GM. Now you have all these other things at play, which is why there was such a demise from 2014 and 2013 and so forth, because we lost and we had everybody trying to have their hands in where Coach Harbaugh wanted to just have his hands on the football program with us. So I think he has that with Michigan, and I don't see him coming back unless somebody really throws him a cash like that. I really feel like he likes the hands-on effect with these 18 to 22-year-olds.
All right, last thing I'll ask you, Ian Williams. The game this weekend, I know you're picking the Niners, but tell me how this game plays out and how close of a game it is. Give me a score.
I'm not going to give you a score, but I am going to tell you the Niners are going to pull this one out. It's going to be a close one in the first half because both of these teams are very, very good, and I feel like they're both going to be able to get after the quarterback, even if the offensive lines are really good for both teams. But I think both teams score over 20 points, and I think the Niners win 31-32 to maybe 24. I think it's going to be a close game within 10 points.
All right, you got it. Thanks so much, Ian Williams. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, Niner gang, let's go.
There you go. Ian Williams here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I need you to clarify something for me real quickly because I was a little bit confused by the final answer. Said he wasn't going to give me a score, then does give me a score. Was that him saying 31-24 is the game?
31-24.
Gotcha.
31-24.
At first, I'm like, is he saying the Niners are going to win by 31 or by 24? I know he's a big Niner guy playing for them, but I didn't think he was that big of a guy saying they would win by 31 or 24. I'm not going to give you a score. Then, okay, he does give us a score. So how about that? First, I'm like, why wouldn't he give us a score? What's the big deal? All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of yourself. Because when you feel empowered, you're more ready for life's challenges. BetterHelp is a great therapy option. It's flexible, affordable, entirely online, and it matches you with a licensed therapist. Let therapy help empower you. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, got a little maintenance done today. Went to the barber, got a shave. Also, got a little trim on the cabeza. Nothing crazy, just a little cleanup. And as I'm walking out of the barber shop, I call Hickey. And I just had a thought to Hickey, because I saw that Jeff Saturday completed his interview now with the Indianapolis Colts, the interim head coach in Jeff Saturday. And I asked Hickey this question. Is this just a courtesy interview? And Hickey, your response was?
Yes.
And you said also?
No shot is getting the job. No shot in hell.
And I said to you, with how unattractive this job is, and it's the least attractive job, in my opinion, on the market, the longer this goes on, and as we just go day to day to day, are there better names than Jeff Saturday? Absolutely. Anyone that has experience in interviews for the job is a better name than Jeff Saturday. But as the longer this goes on and the more and more I keep on thinking about it, it would not shock me if crazy Jim Irsay hires Jeff Saturday on a full-time basis to be the permanent head coach. Now, can I give you a little tweet from Jordan Schultz, NFL insider? You like Jordan Schultz, right?
Oh, I saw his tweet.
Oh, you did? You saw this tweet?
Oh, yeah.
When did you see this tweet?
An hour ago when I was posted.
I just asked you during the break, did you see a tweet about
no,
Jeff
you made
Saturday?
It seemed like it was Jeff Saturday's tweet, like he himself.
Oh, no.
That's where I was confused.
Okay.
I thought it meant Jeff Saturday was tweeting. I'm like, oh, no, what's saying? Good news, Colts fans, soon you'll hear. I thought that idiot was saying, not idiot. That's
whoa!
See, this is where Jim Irsay is putting Colts fans in a tough spot.
You just called Jeff Saturday
franchise legend in the Ring of Honor, but here I am cursing at Jeff Saturday because if he's the head coach, their future is in ruins.
This is wonderful. This puts you through so many hula hoops mentally because you love Jeff Saturday, but you don't want him as the head coach. And I don't blame you. But this Jordan Schultz tweet, I'm told Colts owner Jim Irsay believes Jeff Saturday has the capabilities to be a head coach. That is why Saturday's in this position, why Indianapolis might deliberate and take their time with the decision. Saturday would pick his own staff, which he relayed in his interview. Dun, 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 dun.
I hope he'd pick his own staff, first of all. Like, what are you taking a job when you're not going to pick your own staff, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like Jeff Saturday trying to put the PR word out because he realizes he has no chance.
I don't think
he has no chance. The fan base would revolt. Nobody likes him.
But stop.
Ballard hates him.
Stop. You're approaching your analysis right now, and this is what you do when you get so passionate about something and when you don't want something to happen. You say there's no chance, but there's a chance this guy's going to be your head coach next year because you could tell me Chris Ballard hates him and this person hates him and this person doesn't want him. He got the interim job in the first place. Like, that was stupid. That was already courtesy enough. You don't need to interview him now. But I think Jim Irsay has such a tight bond with Jeff Saturday. I don't know if Jim could tell him no. I really don't. And let's be real. Chris Ballard, who should be bowing down to Jim Irsay that he still has a job, because Chris Ballard should be out of a job the moment you let rid of Frank Reich and you tell Frank Reich to go take a hike and here's a pink slip. Ultimately, Jim Irsay makes this hire. Owners hire the coaches. I know general managers, they're in the interview process. They make recommendations. Ultimately, who the owner wants as the coach will end up being the coach. And if Chris Ballard sees the name or gives a name that Jim Irsay is not like enamored with and doesn't love, and even Jim Irsay can't hype up, then just maybe Jim Irsay, who's crazy, will be crazy enough to make Jeff Saturday the head coach. I'm not telling you it's likely. But the more and more as this goes on, I would not be shocked by it because I always expect the unexpected with crazy Jim Irsay.
Here's why it won't happen. Jim Irsay is not an owner first, a fan first. He loves this team. He also is sensitive to public.
He's an owner first.
He's a fan.
No, he's an owner, though.
He's a fan.
He's the owner of the team.
But he's a fan first. He acts like a fan. He doesn't act like an owner. He's not a businessman. He's a fan first, I'm telling you.
Okay, and he made a fan move hiring Jeff Saturday.
Yes.
That's a move a fan makes. So he's the owner of the team.
Well, yeah, he's obviously the owner. But I'm saying he thinks with a fan first brain, not an owner first brain, because he doesn't care about business.
I don't know about that.
He is someone who goes with his heart. And that's what led them to Jeff Saturday, because that's not a business move any owner would make. And here's why I think it's not going to happen is because he sees the reaction. He knows what's going on, how the fans feel, how the media feels. He cannot justify this hire of Jeff Saturday.
Yes, he can.
And I don't think he would be able to actually sell to a fan base that he is not going to hire Jeff Saturday because he knows he can't sell it.
You're talking about a guy that he won one game Jeff Saturday, right?
1-7.
And when he won that one game, Jim Irsay threw a parade on Twitter. Said, oh, all these people that question me in the media, all the people that question this hire and said it can't happen, whatever the exact tweet was, I'm sure we could go look it up. He took shots at them. I don't think he cares what the public perception says about it.
That's why he took the shots. Because he realized the beating he took.
But there's a difference. Everyone cares to some regard about what people are saying to you. But to the extent of not making a move, I don't think he's not going to make a move because he's afraid what Twitter eggface 643 is going to say or what someone that's powerful in the media is going to say. Because he had to have known going in that he was going to get a lot of backlash for bringing in Jeff Saturday off the set of ESPN to be his interim head coach, and he still did it. So
he thought he could win. That's why he had the victory parade after week one. He thought he could win.
He's delusional.
When you see how the last 2 months have gone, yes, I agree, he is. The last two months have gone.
That's why he can make this hire full time.
Jim Irsay, I think, would realize he is jettisoning an entire fan base.
I'm not kidding. They're still going to show up. People are addicted to football.
They will not show up.
Yes, they will.
I promise you they will not show up.
The people that have season tickets are still going to show up. People are still going to buy jerseys. People are still going to go to games. He's still going to make a ton of money.
Well, he's going to make a ton of money, sure, but the fan interest in the Colts will drastically go down without a doubt.
You're telling me you're not watching next year if Jeff Saturday's a coach?
I have to watch. It's part of my job.
Okay. Let's say they don't renew your podcast next year. You're still watching?
When I watch the Colts of Jeff Saturday, yeah, and I root against them.
No, you won't.
Yes, sir. Okay. I did it this year.
I had to convince you. I had to convince you to embrace the tank and embrace going all in for Bryce Young for a while.
More than you is the team.
You're such full of crap.
Why?
You're telling me.
How?
That when the Colts games come around in week one, if Jeff Saturday is the coach, you're not going to be talking up the Colts and cheering your heart out like you do each and every year?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on. You're such FOS.
Do you see? What is there to cheer about? Jeff Saturday is the worst head coach in the NFL.
When you watch games, and I've even seen you tweet about them, even when you want to lose, you get excited when they make plays. It's just a natural fan emotion. You can't rip that out of your heart regardless of what crap goes on.
Jeff Saturday, I promise you, easily has ripped it out of every Colts fan's heart.
Would you pick a new team?
No, never.
Oh, but why? If you're rooting against a team, why wouldn't you just pick a new team?
You're with your team.
Well, what fan roots against their team?
Smart fans that realize that the coaching move or the GM move or the player move, whatever it is, isn't going to work.
But if he makes that move, Jeff Saturday being a coach, what is having one bad year? What does the first year of rooting against your team do?
Hopefully he gets fired. Hopefully Jim Irsay, again, this is hypothetical because it's not going to happen. Because there's a 0.00000% chance he's getting hired.
Clip this.
But we can clip it all you want. I'm telling you right now, Jeff Saturday's not getting hired as a head coach. There's no chance. He's probably not even going to get a second interview.
Oh, that I guarantee
he's
you.
Not getting a second interview.
I'm not saying he's getting the job, but I guarantee you he gets a second interview. Because here's what you're missing.
Jim Irsay
loves this guy and looks at him like he's one of his sons. He can't say no to this guy. That's why he has the job in the first place.
Why is this getting leaked out? We hear nothing about any Colts interview outside of Raheem Morris, which apparently went great. Colts interviewed a ton of candidates right now.
Maybe Jim's trying to justify it to the media.
Jim is trying to right now test the water, see what people are thinking, sees the bad reaction. I'm telling you right now, no shot.
God,
no chance.
I have sports gods. I have one.
You've
wish.
Used up 500
Shut up.
Wishes.
Shut
you
up.
Cannot get 501.
Out. I have one wish in this offseason. There's only 5 jobs available. Please, 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 please. I want to see Hickey suffer. I want to see him cry.
I want to see him root against the Colts.
Liar, he will always root for the Colts. I want Jeff Saturday as the next head coach just to see how Hickey would squirm and justify this one.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of yourself. Because when you feel empowered, you're more ready for life's challenges. BetterHelp is a great therapy option. It's flexible, affordable, entirely online, and it matches you with a licensed therapist. Let therapy help empower you. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.